All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Wealth Blend podcast. So excited to have you today. This is with CrossShield Financial, and where we bring financial news topics, fresh money insights, bold conversations, and real financial strategies to help you win with money. Each week, we break down the hottest financial news, help you cut through the noise, and show you how to turn knowledge into action. But here's the secret sauce. Having a financial coach in your corner changes everything. And of course, we keep things fun, high energy, and practical here at CrossShield with a little help from our quirky mascot, Zoodles, because finance doesn't have to be boring. So grab your favorite coffee. Today I have tea. Settle in and let's blend the tools, insights, and coaching support you need to build wealth with confidence and purpose. So I'm Rudy Upshaw, CEO and founder of CrossShield Financial. And today I've got an amazing partner joining me in the seat today. We've got Coach Nick Bowater. Coach Nick, great to have you today. Coach Nick always brings wisdom and real world solutions. So Nick, say hello to everyone, sir.
Oh, that's a very good introduction. Thanks, Rudy. Hi, guys, everyone. Thanks for letting me come on, Rudy, and of course, Zoodles, the underboss of CrossShield. it's exciting. There's some good articles here. I get fired up every time. Every time I'm trying to take my money or use it for fraud, waste, and abuse. So I always get fired up with those.
Ooh,
it's gonna be a fun show today.
Fraud, waste, and abuse. That sounds like you've seen that somewhere before, Coach Nick.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think 22 years in the government. I think I've seen a little bit here and there. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, this is going to be a great one today. We do not have a couple of our team members with us that are usually joining us on the podcast. And so for the audience that's joining us on the Audible podcast, we do not have Amanda Hirschberger, senior financial coach, with us today. We've had some weather here in the Midwest part of the country, specifically Oklahoma and Tulsa, Oklahoma. And man, we just had a winter blast. We've had snow and ice and everything's been a bit crazy here in the middle part of the country and in Oklahoma specifically. Our state builds in what are called snow days into the curriculum calendar. And so in the event that, which is usually happens every year, that we do have really bad weather, there are days built in that can be used for just not having, basically school. But unfortunately, this week is not one of those weeks. Even though we do have snow days built in, I think our state Department of Education has not allowed the, it's either the state or maybe it's the local, I don't know. Anyway, they aren't using the snow days for non-curriculum. So what that means is that the parents need to go ahead and teach kids the distance learning curriculum. So anyway, that's created a little bit of a challenge for some of our team members here in this part of the world to keep up with everything they've got going on, especially kids being home. Also, our executive assistant, Allie Long, is not joining us today. So Coach Nick, listen, when the girls aren't here, we get to have a lot of conversation, a lot of fun, because we just don't have any boundaries. There we go.
So the bro down.
And Zoodles was really excited too. So he got to be unleashed today. So
awesome, Zoodles.
Anyway. Great. Yeah, man, it's been a it's been a great week with a lot of financial news coming out to discuss today. We've got two topics that we really want to bring up to the audience. So if it's okay with you, man, let's just jump right in. What I'd love to do at the end of our time today, Coach Nick, is just really have some time for Coach's Corner, where we get to talk about what's going on maybe with our clients, things that we're doing, any new success or challenges. So let's just jump right in. We'll cover a couple of articles and have some really great Coach's Corner conversation at the end. Is that cool?
I like it. Let's roll.
All right. Love it. Love it. Okay. So we've got this first article here today, and this article is from the Wall Street Journal, and it is titled "Landlords Have a New Hardball Tactic When It Comes to, Tanking Your Credit Score." When I first saw this article, I was just like, wow, what is this article about? And so Coach Nick, I know you've read a little bit about the article. Why don't you just share with the article kind of the premise of it? And this, again, is by the Wall Street Journal, and it's written by Caitlin Ostroff. And we'll put that in Caitlin Ostroff and Imani Moyes. So there's two people that wrote. We'll put that article in the description for us. So, yeah, man, share a little bit about what the premise of this article is.
Well, I think it centers around landlords recognizing that our Americans' credit scores, what we think of them and where we put them, like how high we put them on the mantle, is a centrality to the way we live. So basically what that means is that we put our credit score as such a high priority to have high that we'll do anything to high. I have thoughts about this, but either we'll get to it later, or that's a totally different conversation to get me on a rant. That's a terrible thing to have, a premise to have, is the top priority in your life is your credit score for various reasons. But what happened here in this one is that a landlord has decided to put, call credit collecting agencies and report unpaid rent on, allegedly unpaid rent, onto a credit report. And the debt collectors haven't even asked for any receipts, any documentation, any proof whatsoever.
Wow.
I was reading that. It blew my mind. It's like, wow, that's a lawsuit. So what's happening is these landlords are putting it on this credit report, and it absolutely tanks the person's credit report and credit number. And again, we base our entire life on this. Well, I wouldn't say we. Most Americans base their whole life on their credit score. It's, you know, like this rating, a system rating.
Yeah.
So their landlords are doing this sometimes allegedly for unpaid rent, and then other times they're using it as leverage to get more money or whatnot out of the movers. So moving in, moving out, before you sign leases, there's a lot of things you need to do, renters need to do to protect themselves from this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't rented a house in really, really long time, so I'm not really I've never seen running in my leases. I've never had this happen at all. I do run credit reports, but the credit report number when I got people that were renting my properties wasn't the whole story. Like a person who had a fairly low credit score, the good thing about it is that they paid their bills. But I focused more energy on the people's references, like the people who actually know these people. I am gifted with the ability to tell if someone's full of crap and lying to me, which is why I'm so good at my military job. So I call them. I don't put a credit report at the top of the deciding list. But it seems to a lot of people, because it's easy, it's fast, it's quick. I can run a credit report, get a number, make a decision. Kind of how the reason their credit score was invented in the first place. And people don't actually make the time to call their references. So this is hurting a lot of people when they're going with these big rental, you know, properties, apartment complexes, that these people don't do their due diligence. They just look at a credit score and go. So if you're going for a place like that, then this, what's happening here, people putting your unpaid rent on your credit score, reportable to a credit bureau, is devastating.
No, for sure. I think Zoodles had maybe some questions, possibly for you, Nick, or just some comments. So
go for it, Zoodles.
Yeah, I think that what I really troubled me about this article, like you, Nick, is that the landlord didn't have to provide any type of documentation. Now, whether that was a error on the credit bureau agency or not, I would think that you'd have to provide something to say, hey, here's the proof that I have that particular account was late or whatever it might have been. But just the fact that it happened is, I mean, when you have to go through and dispute something on your credit report, or if you happen to go to court and say, hey, I mean, the cost, the time involved, all that is just absolutely ridiculous. And you might get your money back, but it may take months, or sometimes I've got to, it may take forever. So I just am just shocked that happened.
It's interesting you say that, Zoodles, because the reason landlords are doing this, because they're saying it's easier for them to just call a credit reporting, like a debt collector, than it is, and get them to deal with it, than it is for them to send letters, to send summons, and to actually pursue the tenant whose allegedly unpaid rent is due. It's easier and more convenient and cheaper for them just to pass on to a credit collector and not even worry about it. That to me is, like you said, the cost of legal battles and whatnot. That's insane that people are doing that, because you're really killing someone's, like you could cripple someone's life, especially if they own a business. And I mean, credit is a different monster, different animal when you're running a business. That could be crippling, and it's just because it's more convenient for a landlord to do that instead of, you know, doing it the good human way. Blows my mind, man. Blows my mind.
Yeah, one thing that we do talk to our clients here about CrossShield about is read your lease agreement. Lease agreements can be very long, sometimes a little bit complicated, but we just tell people, read it. Please read your document. If you have any questions, please don't sign it. Please don't pay money until you really know what is in the document and you feel comfortable with it. Now, many people are in situations where they need to, you know, get an apartment or get someplace quickly. And we definitely understand that and are sensitive to that, but please read. We regularly have our clients, they may have documents that they may not fully understand or may need some clarity. And we'll actually look over those documents with them, give them some thoughts. We're not attorneys here at CrossShield, but we've seen enough documentation that we can give them some guidance. And if they do need further clarification from an attorney, we can help connect them with a good attorney who can give them greater information. But at a minimum, please read your legal documents. Every single document that you have, there's a legal component to it. And like we tell clients, if you don't understand what's in it, then don't move forward with it until you get good clarity. So not that I'm saying that this particular issue was in the documents, that the landlord could report that. But, you know, we are seeing many clients, too, when they are renting an apartment, there'll be an opportunity for them to report those rent payments to the credit report for a fee. So this may be a particular issue that may be, you know, developing some more widespread use, but please read your documents. So that's my thought.
Definitely. And like I said, if you know you're going to move out early, I would try to like negotiate the exit terms up front. Like if there's a chance you can do it, try to really kind of, you know, negotiate with the lease landlord, like how that's going to happen, what's entailed, if there's any hidden charges. And hey, if you do this, you know, maybe that's when they disclose, hey, we're going to report you to a credit reporting bureau. And then, like you said, Zoodles, keep every email, every receipt, every written agreement, every receipt that you've paid rent, keep those documents, because that's going to be proof in any like legal dispute in court. You producing that, I mean, at that point, you can be like, hey, this is a false, you know, these are false accusations, and they could end up paying attorney fees. So just, it's worth its weight in gold to keep every single, like, don't talk to them over the phone, have everything through emails, everything through written agreements, and have your receipts all stashed away. My recommendation.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's fantastic. All right, let's go to this next article today. I'm going to go ahead and present I'm going to share screen here really quickly. And let's see if I can do this the right way. Oh, yeah. Okay. And the reason I want to share this particular article with the audience, for those of us that are able to kind of see on YouTube, is that I just want to share with everyone the list of the agencies that are in here that this article talks about. So let me go ahead and just share that real quickly. So this article is entitled Musk's Doge, D-O-G-E, launches agency accounts to solicit cost-saving tips from the public. And the subheading is Elon Musk Doge is seeking public input in identifying federal waste, fraud, and abuse. So we'll talk about the article, but briefly, I just want to show the audience that's watching, and I won't go through the entire list of agencies that are here, but there's like a list of, I don't know, Coach Nick, what, probably 30?
Yeah, 30? There's a lot.
There's a whole list of federal agencies that are on this list. That
inside these agencies, there's more like subcommittees and sub-agencies.
Yeah,
This is insane.
So, I don't know, when I first saw this article, I'm just like, holy moly, there's a lot going on here. But we're probably going to have some Doge articles for a while on the Wealth Blend podcast as different things kind of pop up to talk about. So Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen now. We can talk about this, but I just want to show the audience how many agencies were on there. So, yeah, Nick, tell us a little bit about your thoughts about this particular article.
Well, I mean, I think it's amazing. I think, I don't know how he has time to run his other four or five companies.
Yeah.
When he's devoting so much time to this. I mean, that's great. I think there was an interview with, it was him and Tucker Carlson and President Trump were on there, and they're just like, how do you do this? What makes you focus on doing this? And he's talking to Elon Musk, and Elon just responds like, I just want to be of use, and my certain skills and my certain, you know, kind of personality are a perfect fit for this function. Then use me to the extent, you know, that you can.
Yeah.
And I just think that's amazing. And I think it's great. I think if you have delicate ears, as far as don't like hearing truth, then you probably should be prepared if you're going to listen to us. But in saying that, I would love if we had an audience, like send, like in the caption when this is posted on YouTube, like ask us questions. Like if you have like points of view of this, because there's sometimes like I don't see everything. Like with all the layoffs, I'm just like, yes, it's amazing. I'm saving my taxpayer money. We're running more efficient. You know, I think somebody brought up, I think it was Ali who brought up last week, you know, the people that are losing their jobs. And it's like, oh, you don't think of that side of it. So I like hearing different people's opinions. So with Doge Show, and I know there is a plethora of different opinions. I would be very open to discuss them and answer questions and open some dialogue with some listeners. But as far as back to the article goes, just cutting. I think public involvement in cutting costs is amazing because at the end of the day, we're the customers, Rudy. We pay the taxes. We're the customers to all these agencies, like the DOJ. What was the other ones here? The DOJ.
Oh my
God!
Don't start. Yeah, you'll hit one of these. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Like the VA. You know, as a retiree, going into the VR, the IRS, everyone hits that. It's like all of these things. There's so many areas and avenues and experiences we have as consumers and taxpayers that we got fed up with. So, you know, those critique forms that we fill out or those surveys that these agencies send out after they deal with you, looks like Doge is going to go through every single one of them and look and see where there's fraud, waste, and abuse. So I don't know, man.
Well, I mean,
algorithm, use keywords, you know.
It's a huge list. And you know, the article, and this is again from this is from Fox Business by Eric Revelle. It came out on the 18th, so it's a couple of days old. And the article says, and this is a statement made by I think it's a statement, let's see, is it made by Elon Musk or is it, anyway, it says the Post said that Doge is seeking help from the public and instructed the public to DM, direct message that account at Doge, D-O-G-E, with insights on finding and fixing waste, fraud, and abuse related to the agency, whatever that agency is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what is just an interesting place that we are with the Trump administration on not only, you know, being very intentional about finding ways to be able to, you know, give money back to keep our tax money being used wisely, but they're actually asking the public, for, hey, if you see some areas, message us, right? Yeah. It's incredible. One of the eight. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say just the government doing that, I think it's such an innovative idea. Like,
yeah.
I just, like, what other administration would come in and ask the people to, like, put in? Like, how democratic is that? You're asking the people to vote, to have a say, to have a voice in how their money is actually being funded, being used, and in this case abused. Like they found Social Security payments going to citizens that are 159 years old, you know, which is totally fraudulent. And they found millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars on things like that, how they're just cutting it and then giving the money back, like the education department, cutting the federal side of it and then giving money back to the state. So the states can dictate how they spend on it, what they spend, and how they, you know, how they promote and administer education. Like, I would have never thought in my lifetime that I would be alive to see that kind of transparency, that kind of just yeah, I guess it's so innovative just to come in and actually use our inputs as we can literally make a difference now. It's not just, you know, voting in a senator or a congressman, you know, and them voting on your behalf. Now it's like I literally get to talk to Elon or talk to the people and tell them, hey, this is what I see. This is what I see. And they're actually going to listen to it and see it. And the whole world is going to see it.
It's such a positive step. Now, you know, when we go through seasons like this of change, be it in our personal lives, be it, you know, in our government, our business, whatever it is, I would say let me take a step back. Sometimes, and I would say more than some, many times, we don't like change, you know, but we get kind of comfortable, we get complacent with the way a certain thing is going, even if it's wrong, right? Be it financially, be it fleshly, you know, from a, you know, we're a company of faith, from a sin perspective, we may get kind of complacent and comfortable with, you know, a behavior that we know is not right or know is not good or know is not healthy for us. And we just get very comfortable with that, you know, even if it's not good. And so going through this process, like when I look at the Doge situation and the things that are being not just done, but the questions being asked, right? There are questions being asked and all these agencies, hey, help me understand more. Why is this happening this way? What's the purpose? What's the value? And when we can't see really the value, or we can't see that that's a good thing and it needs to stop, it requires a lot of leadership. It requires a lot of intentional, okay, well, man, you know what? We do need to make a change and this is going to hurt. Right. If it doesn't challenge us, Coach Nick and audience, it's not going to change us. Right.
Correct.
And for those of our audience that listen to this podcast, you know that we are a company and a firm that helps our clients, business, personal, whatever it is, change so that we can achieve the goals and dreams that we have. If we don't, nothing's going to happen. So being able to not just ask the question, but say, okay, man, okay, I get that there's not a viable reason for it. Now, what can we do to change it? Oh, well, now, wait a minute. If we change that, that means that I may lose my job or something may be impacted. But we're in a place now where we're seeing live examples of leadership, live examples of, you know, this is going to hurt. And it's probably going to hurt many of those people that are guiding and directing these changes to make, because, you know, we've all benefited from this complacency, from this, you know, maybe this wasteful area. Mm-hmm. And I want to just tell our audience what you're seeing with Doge. Take those examples, take what you're seeing and reflect back on your own life, your own situation, your own household, even you as an individual. I've had to really look in the mirror in a lot of areas, me personally, financial in other areas. And because of some of the examples I'm seeing through this is Doge, and I'm like, man, are there some areas in my life that I need to not just need to change, but I have to change, because if I stay on the path that I'm going on with maybe some areas, it's not going to get me closer to my goals. And it's probably sure not. And I'll just say this for the audience. And Nick, I really want your feedback on this statement that I'm about to make. I heard it the other day. And the statement was, the question another coach asked me was, the things that you're doing, is that getting you closer in your relationship with God? Or is it getting you further away from your relationship with God? And, you know, our financial world that we're in has such a spiritual component to it. And so just that really simple, crystalline question. And now I'm looking at a lot of my decisions and a lot of my behaviors from a little bit of that lens. So I'd love your feedback on that. But I love what's going on. I know there's pain that's coming. I want to talk briefly, if it's okay, Nick, for just a second.
Go for it, sir.
One of the agencies that's on that list, that huge list of 30 or 40, is the IRS. And that an article or an information came out, I think, yesterday. It was a little bit too late for us to get it on our podcast. And we'll probably bring it up next week. But I think I saw a number of potentially 15,000 IRS agents are probably going to have a job change because of some of the work that Doge is doing. And I also saw President Trump as he was on Air Force One being asked the question about the IRS agency and the impact. And the question was asked, okay, well, with the IRS, if there's going to be some change with the IRS, what happens to that taxpayer dollars? And President Trump said, you know what? That should go back to the American people. If we're saving those monies, we've collected that from the American people.
Yeah.
We're seeing savings. We should write some checks back to the American people.
I think it's very interesting to distinguish the difference between that and printing money that doesn't exist. There's a huge difference between getting that, with the Inflation Reduction Act, which did the exact opposite. They were just cutting checks to people, but there was money that was, they were just printing money. It didn't exist, but they were just making it. As opposed, because I've had a couple people comment on what you just said, Rudy. I'm like, oh, it's just going to be in like another stimulus check. That was it. Another stimulus check. It's just going to create more inflation. And I'm like, what you just said there kind of made a point. Like, will it though? Like, it's money they've already taken from us. So there's two things of thought. Either give us the money back that we've already paid in taxes, or because we go over budget every year, take the money that they've saved and pay down our national deficit. Right now, it's not going to be a big change to people, but later on down the track, like 100%. Our next generations, it's going to pay dividends to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not an economist. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a member of the Treasury Board. But like, if it's money that already exists, they're just reallocating back. That's not really injecting cash that doesn't exist into an economy. Yeah. I mean, again, that's just my, you know, I'm just spitballing here. So I don't think it's going to have the same effect. And I'd be very interested to see if it does happen. And I love Trump because he's the best internet troller on earth. So he says things and it just gets people's blood boiled, which I love, because again, it poses those questions. He says the things that everyone's thinking about, but no one has the intestinal fortitude to say.
Thank you for saying intestinal fortitude, Coach Nick. I was worried you're going to go somewhere else.
I've heard intestinal fortitude, and I've heard ovarian gumption. I've heard all kinds of stuff. Intestinal fortitude to just throw a statement out there, and then, like you said before, the debate happens. Once the statement goes out, it's out, and then people will debate back and forth, and it opens a conversation. That's his way of opening conversation.
Yeah.
But if he for so happens to be serious about this, I mean, I would assume that it's not going to be taxed. It's not going to be taxable income. I mean, it's already been taxed, but who knows?
Well, I appreciate the things that are being done, because it, again, allows me to kind of look in the mirror myself and say, okay, wow, okay, I can do things differently as well. And just the example of the leadership. So it's really cool. So I know we've talked a lot about that article. Don't want to spend much more time on it.
I was going to bring it back to what that means for the common people.
Go ahead, dude, please.
I mean, think about the tax savings. You know, the government waste is reduced. It's going to lower the federal spending and potentially lower our taxes. Correct. And slow the increase of, lower the taxes over time and then even impact inflation. So those are all great things for us as taxpayers and our budgets. I mean, what that means is that it's more money for us to spend on the things that are important to us and, you know, our goals and dreams, you know, to getting us closer to them. It's just more money. And just think, if when people say they're cutting money, people automatically think, hey, they're cutting resources, they're going to cut programs. They're cutting money. But again, it's the efficiency of it. Trump, and he's come out and said this multiple times, he wants to keep the programs but get rid of the fat. So then with those savings, we can actually afford Social Security and it not go solvent in a couple of years. Like, insolvent. And so, like, that's the objective of what this is attacking, is we spend billions and billions of dollars. We said it last week. You know, what do we actually get for that billions? If we could get the same services but for half the cost, then that's awesome. Then we can use that money for other things or give it back to us, you know, tax us less.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, man. It's like I said, it's going to hurt. I believe President Trump has, people yell at me all the time for saying this, but I believe it. He has an insane amount of moral courage. Once he makes his decision, he believes it's right. He doesn't care if it's going to hurt at first. He knows it's right, and eventually he's going to weather the storm of all the critics, and then a year or two when it actually comes into fruition, he doesn't even ask for it. He'll say, "I told you so."
Yeah.
He doesn't even wait for someone to say that. He just tells everyone it.
I'm going to go a step maybe a little bit further in that, because as you were talking about, you know, the pain, and it may not be a little bit, it may be a lot of pain for a while, right? When we're talking about 75,000 people, was that Department of Ed? I can't remember where that was at. 15,000 people, IRS. You know, that has a trickle effect for so many areas, right? I mean, not only is there an impact to that individual and those households, but then you have, you know, an impact to the, you know, the people that are out there looking for jobs currently, right? You got all this stuff kind of going, but neither here nor there. I would probably submit to you and to our audience that true leadership is really about love. It's really about, okay, these things are going to be painful. They're going to be challenging. But if we don't do these things, we're really not loving on our country, loving on everyone else, because honestly, we've allowed it to get out of whack. And if we stay on the path that we're on, it's going to get worse. And so I think, Nick, true love is really shown by true leadership and doing the hard things, even in the face of, you know, death, to be quite honest with you, you know?
Literally, in his case, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and I think this is what we all want as you know, not just as U.S. citizens, but we want our whole our own household is to be empowered to make decisions that are really challenging and painful for ourselves too. So
I think like that comment about it's what a father or a parent, I would say, you know, a parent has to make those decisions. A parent's not there to be the child's friend, although, you know, there is aspects of that, but they're there to make those hard decisions that they know is going to be right. It may feel wrong or it may feel not very, you know, you're not getting a lot of feedback, a positive feedback at the time, but it's something that's good for you in the future. And like as parents, I mean, you know, that's what we do for our children. You know, God does it for us on the daily. Those decisions and those paths that he's put out for us, you know, he knows what's best for us, and we just have to kind of trust him and, you know, and be led, and abide, like, as you say, abide by him. I think it's the same kind of principles. I'm not calling Trump my daddy or anything, but I'm just saying that those hard decisions require that moral courage and that leadership. You've got to have that moral courage and the intestinal fortitude to follow that out.
And yeah.
That's something we haven't seen in a long, long time from our government.
Yeah. Hey, man, let's segue this into the coach's corner a little bit. So our coach's corner for the audience is a time that we have in the Wealth Blend where we just talk a little bit about what's going on with some of our clients' world, what we're doing as coaches. But Coach Nick, I do want to go into coach's corner, but I want to kind of back up a little bit on this last conversation we had. So we talked about leadership. We talked about doing the tough things. Nick, relate that to coaching. So from a client's perspective, okay? Yeah, just talk a little bit about that and some of the value that we provide in helping clients in these areas as it kind of relates to all this DOGE stuff we've been talking about.
Okay, so I can kind of translate it into a new client that I've just started working with. They're brand new to CrossShield. And so they had this thing where they came up and they have not an insane amount of debt, but they have a pretty significant amount of consumer debt. And they kept saying to me, and they have a pretty significant income as well. They kept saying to me, "Hey, Nick, you look at keep saying that you'll find money in our budget. You'll find money in our budget. But I've been through this budget 100 times and I can't see what you're talking about. I can't see where we're going to get out of this or anything." Is there something playing? Is there an article playing over? Oh, okay. I think my computer just started playing an article. Sorry, it's coming through my headset.
No worries.
Yeah, so they were like, I don't know, Nick. And then I think about the amount of money that they don't see as waste. They don't see as as pork on a budget.
Yeah.
And it's not until someone who is not emotionally attached to your money, who has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and a lot of experiences to pull from colleagues to kind of whittle down, like, hey, this is pork. And not only, like, is this pork, but this is why. And this is what mantra I want you to have in your head. This is how I want you to look at your budget while you go down line item by line item. And I want you to use this mindset and really question every single expense. And that's pretty much what Dodge is doing. It's going, Doge is doing, it's going through, and it's like, does this benefit the American people? Is this worth the money? Is this getting the benefit that we want it to? And these, the people, their goal right now is to get out of debt. They have six figures of consumer debt. And
six figures. Wow.
Six figures.
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay, man, so you need to go through these things. And they're like, I don't know. And I went through them and I picked out, so they were about $500 underwater. Every budget, they were spending $500 more than what they had.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this is just what I see. This is probably, they probably operated. I don't see their bank accounts, but I do see the budget that we construct for them. Based off that, I was able to turn that around and have $1,000 of margin in their budget to turn around and put
on
their minimum payments
of $1,000 margin.
$1,000. And when you talk about the hurt, they got, she was understanding, I could see his face. He was already trying to rationalize those spendings in his head. And I was like, hey guys, this is just me mothballing. This is me just shooting from the hip. But if I were to start looking, these are the places I would start having these conversations. We'll get to that later. This is your first session, but you keep bringing up to me, you don't know how this is going to happen. You're stressed out about the budget. So I get to meet my client where they are. Yeah. And I want to address that question. I don't want to wait till 3 or 4 weeks in. I want to address it now. I want to put her at ease and be like, I know what you're saying. I see it and I have a plan for it. And, you know, I'm going to provide the guidance and you guys are going to do the work. And when I kind of just went through and some of the things that I was cutting out, they got emotional real quick about it. And then I was like, hey, if this is what you guys want to achieve, getting out of that six-figure debt and building a legacy for your family,
100%.
You've got to make these sacrifices, or it's like looking at the numbers, it's not going to work. The numbers is the easy part. It's the emotional behaviors and the changes, and to make them permanent, that's where coaching is clutch.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so fantastic. So, Nick, would you say of our clients that we work with, you know, obviously, you know, the some of the concerns, the investment that we would ask for them, you know, based on the value we provide. But what percentage would you say of clients that we can help them recover of the investment they're going to pay, and they still are making amazing stride with their finances, with their goals, being able to build wealth?
I have not found one client yet that I have worked with, not one, that I have not been able to do that. And this was including our fee that hadn't been in their in original budget.
Audience, I just want to hear Coach Nick say that again really, really clearly, Nick. So can you repeat what you just said?
Yep, absolutely. There has not been one client that I have not been able to find enough for their investment with us, plus some to pay off their debt earlier or to invest whatever baby step they're in. Not one client. And almost every single one, I would say 90% of the people had said that. And not one client I've had has proved me wrong so far.
So audience, what Nick basically said is there's no reason financially why you should not have a conversation with Coach Nick, Coach Rudy, Coach Amanda at CrossShield, because financially, the likelihood of us finding that investment in your current structure is very, very high. So please do not let financially there be an issue for you. So,
you know, the reason, I just want to put in one last caveat.
Yeah, please.
The reason that I can do that, and I can say this so confidently, and every one of us as coaches can do this, is because people don't really have money problems for the most part. They have priority problems.
Ooh, yeah.
Once we figure out the behaviors that structured those priorities to get you in debt, we got to undo that behavior. And that's, again, that's where coaching comes in. And that's why I can say without a doubt, shout out of a doubt, it'll be a very interesting day, the day that someone proves me wrong.
Love that.
Again, because the priority problems are so backwards and so I don't know, discombobulated. It's a win for us every time. It's a win for the client also. So
absolutely,
to say it's a win-win because I don't like that term.
Yeah,
but definitely a priority issue that most 99% of my job is priorities.
Fantastic. All right, everyone, that is it for our podcast today. Thank you for joining the Wealth Blend. We're going to have links for Coach Nick's scheduling calendar for you guys to get in front of Coach Nick. I encourage you, please schedule a time with Coach Nick. He is an amazing financial coach. We'll have Coach Amanda's in there. Of course, my links will be in there as well. Let's go ahead and get this carried out today. So, all right, Wealth Builders, before we close this out, let's talk about what is next for you. You just took in some powerful financial insights about relevant information happening real time. But remember, information alone does not change your life. Action does. The difference between where you are now and where you want to be are the steps you take today. So let's make it real. Step one, take the first move. If you're tired of feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of your next financial step, you don't have to figure it out alone. That's why we do what we do. Book a free 15-minute coaching session. Let's get clear on a plan that actually works for you. Find that link in the description below. Step two, stay in the right circle. Winning with money is easier when you're surrounded by people who are learning, growing, and pushing forward. Join us online for weekly insights, real strategies, and encouragement to keep you moving forward. We'll have a link where you can follow us. Step three, help someone else take that step. Found value in today's episode? Hit like, subscribe, and send this to someone who needs to hear it. Sometimes a simple conversation about money is all it takes to start making a change. New episodes for The Wealth Blend drop every Friday at 3 p.m. So please stay connected, keep learning, and let's do this together. Now, take a deep breath, grab that coffee, and remember, your financial future isn't set in stone, but it's built by the choices you make today. Make them count. Until next time, stay focused, stay intentional, and keep blending that wealth. We'll see you next time. Take care, everyone. Coach Nick, you're amazing.
Thank you.
See you guys. Bye.